Hallelujah. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everybody? Amen. We're either blessed and highly favored or cursed and miserable. Hallelujah. But thank God for God's presence. Are you refreshed? Not refleshed. Thank you, Lord, because you are good all the time, even when we're bad. Thank you, Jesus. What a battle. What things are going on, you know? What a fight. Everyone say we're in a battle. We're in a war. We're in a fight. Hallelujah. Turn to Romans 8:18, please. Romans 8:18. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, again, God's presence is, without his presence, we're not. Addicted over 20 years, messed up, you name it, did it. Never realized I was looking for God's presence. That's what it was all about. Because we've been deceived, we've been lied to. Born in a wartime. The earth has been in a wartime ever since the fall of Adam. Amen. In Romans 8:18, is everybody there? Good. Let's speak it together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, which is happening more and more every day. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God, which we are. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Everyone say hope. Hope is a representation of future faith. Because the creation itself also be delivered by the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In other words, the whole earth has been corrupted for so many thousands of years. And it's getting ready to be turned over to the kingdom of God, to God's children. Finally. It's like sometimes you want to ask Dad, what took you so long? But he's got a plan, and his plan is much better than ours. Hallelujah. For we know the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Verse 22, Hallelujah. Verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. That's the completion. We're waiting for our glorified body to come. See, we've been born of the Spirit now. Now we're waiting for the fulfillment of redemption, which is a new body, which will be glorified. And you will travel back and forth from our home, which is heavenly bound, to the earth. And you won't need a plane, you won't need a jet, and you won't need a rocket. You'll think it and you'll be there. 24. For we were saved in this what? Hope. Hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Now the world hopes for everything they see. But the Bible, the Word tells us that we walk by faith, not by sight. Our hope is in the unseen. Seen hope is not hope. Does everybody get it? Hope is unseen, must have spiritual resistance to overcome dismantlement of unseen hope. Because you're being attacked every day of hope. Hope is not what you see. It's future hope. Now, spiritual resistance, because it's a spiritual fight. Hope is not physical, is it? Hope is spiritual. But we're not hoping for what we see. We're hoping for what we don't see because we're waiting for the promises of God to be fulfilled. We're hoping on those promises, which is future faith. Amen? So the enemy's always attacking us in every area. There's spiritual resistance that needs to be established in each and every one. We need to resist in the spirit against these things that are coming against us. There's physical resistance, there's mental resistance, and there's spiritual resistance. Again, we must not hope for what we see. We hope for what we don't see because the things that we don't see are eternal. The things that we see are temporary. We're not hoping for physical. We're hoping for the promises of God to become physical. Amen? The expectations of... Now, what is hope? It's the expectation of a positive outcome. Hope is the expectation of a positive outcome. It's not an expectation of a negative outcome. True hope is an expectation of a positive outcome. That's why our hope is in the promises of Christ. So we must have spiritual resistance to the enemy that's always trying to steal your hope. Amen? Does discouragement steal hope? Yeah. So he's trying to set us up and trap us in the things that bring discouragement, disappointment. Why? Because it's nullifying our hope. So we must resist hope. And how do you resist? With spiritual resistance in the spirit. Romans 15. In verse 12, Romans 15, 12. Oh boy. Is everybody there? Anybody there? Romans 15, 12 and 13. Let's speak it together. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. How now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, or the power of what? The anointing. The anointing. The eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty. Abound in hope by the anointing with spiritual resistance of the unseen. Remember, the enemy comes to steal your identity. If he can steal or compromise your identity, he can steal and compromise your hope. Many people have never reached their identity. They're still trying to fulfill their hope that they see. False dreams. I used to have a lot of false dreams. Boy, I had a lot of desires. I didn't have two nickels to rub together, but I wanted everything. Then I tried shortcuts, and those are the ones that get you in trouble. 1 Peter chapter 5. Everyone say spiritual resistance. But what are we resisting? We're resisting the influence of evil, the powers of darkness, the voice of the stranger, even a voice of negativity that comes against you. Hallelujah. First Peter chapter 5. Man, when your attorney gives you bad news, boy, does that hurt your hope. But that's where you got to stand up above it, because God is your attorney, not the physical. So you're looking at the unseen attorney. Amen. I remember when they told me I had a mandatory sentence because I had already had felonies. I had to do a minimum of 4 years in prison. Minimum. Mandatory. And when I went into the courtroom, the Lord said to me, I'll be your judge. I'll be your attorney. I didn't say a word. I stood there before the judge. He looked at me and looked at the prosecuting attorney. He said, probation. Make it work. And I got 2 years. I did 2 years probation. And I got a Christian probation officer. And we just talked about Jesus every time we met. See, I wasn't concerned about going on probation because I didn't plan on doing anything wrong anyways. People are concerned, I can't do probation because you're planning on doing something stupid. Hallelujah. But God is faithful. My hope was not in the physical. It was in the spirit. So I had to spiritually resist the enemy that was attacking me. How about fear? I mean, he's going to attack you with fear and everything. He always says, well, how do you think you're going to do this? I'm going to trust in God all the way. My hope is in the Lord, nothing else. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Let's speak it. Be sober, which means what? Alert. Be alert. Be awake. Be vigilant, which means consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, like a roaring lion. In other words, he's got a big mouth. Resist the unseen beings. We must resist the unseen beings. He's not only is he talking about the devil himself, he's talking about demonic forces, demons, and all the other demonic forces that are attacking you. Resist them. Amen. Seeking whom he may devour. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you ain't the only one going through it. Everybody is. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've been tested, after you've suffered a while, may you be perfected, established, strengthened, and settle you in every good thing. Why? Because you are not hoping on the things you see. You are hoping on the unseen. And you are resisting the powers of darkness and their influences. You are spiritually resisting everything that the enemy says to you. James chapter 4, verse 6. Spiritual resistance. Hallelujah. Four, six, please. Let's speak it. But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, is the devil physical? No. He's spiritual. So that's where you need to have spiritual resistance. And that can only come by having the anointing. Without the eternal presence and power of God Almighty, which is the anointing. And how do you get that? Praise and worship in his presence, feeding your spirit with the word of God. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. How do you draw near to him? Worship. Worship. That's why people can't handle God's presence, because of the demons that are in them. They prevent them from getting in God's presence. Why? Because if they fight for God's presence, those demons got to run. Why? Light overtakes darkness. Amen? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will what? Lift you up. Resist the unseen attacks of the evil influences, not losing hope in the promises of God, who is faithful to complete what he started. Titus 3, verse 4. Hallelujah. Titus 3, verse 4. Let's speak it. But when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, or the renewing of what? The anointing, refreshing of the anointing. And how do you get that? Entering God's presence. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become what? Heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and what? They are profitable to man. But avoid what? Foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject. Now, the word reject also means resist. Reject a device of man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning and being self-condemned. Again, the word reject is associated with resist. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We need a lot of spiritual resistance these days. Second Timothy chapter 4. Amen. Second Timothy 4:1. Let's go for it. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke. Now, rebuke is associated also with resist. Exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Is that happening? All over the world. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of evangelists, and fulfill your ministry or your calling. Again, to rebuke is to what? Resist. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Spiritual resistance. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Everybody okay? What's it say? Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraints. But happy is he who keeps the law. Restraints. You're restraining yourself from doing the works of the flesh, and you're restraining the enemy, which means you're resisting him. So when there's not revelation or refreshing of the anointing, you're not able to keep on those restraints. That's why many people fall. You know, you can come to services 10 times a day and never press in and cross over, because you're not doing with your whole heart. That's why he says, seek me with your whole heart. Seek me and you will find me. Amen? And again, what you sow is what you reap. But many, there's a falling away right now, big time, globally. But then there's also a gathering that's just globally. I believe it's outdoing the falling away. There's more and more people coming into the kingdom, more and people knowing the truth than ever before. The harvest is ripe and it's happening. and this harvest will continue for the next 7 years. Hallelujah. To restrain is to resist. Hosea 4:6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. What's it say? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's not physical knowledge, it's a spiritual knowledge. Why? Because we're in a spiritual fight. Because you have rejected his knowledge, in other words, they reject his knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest for me, which is one who ministers to the Lord, which is the second chamber of the tabernacle. Because you've forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Why? Because a curse comes down the family line then. And people don't realize that. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity, and it shall be like people, like priests, so I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. In other words, no matter what they do, they're not advancing. Why? Because there's open doors of the enemy. He's always coming to steal and kill, destroy. You can work 40 hours a week, and you're going to lose it. It doesn't matter. You try to do it in your own self, and anything that's not backed by God is not promised. Anything that's backed by God is promised. That's why it really bothers me when people get married under Justice departments. They think that they're really married. Oh, we're good now. Well, you're not married. You got married under the hand of man. And who's the ruler of the earth? Satan. So when you're not married under the hand of God, it's not protected. That's why many people, or you have a believer and unbeliever, they get married, they're unevenly yoked, and it's always causing problems. They're always butting heads. It's a hard thing. And then they become one flesh, and all the demons in one are always fighting the other. That's why fornication and adultery, when you become one flesh with a person, unmarried, demons from their family line going to you, and demons from your family line going to them. They got access. Now it begins to multiply and spread. And we wonder why our children are a mess. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? So God says here, what's he say? They must continuously resist eternal knowledge, and they're going to perish. Because that's eternal knowledge. We're to resist the enemy's knowledge, not God's knowledge. Remember, we're not of this world once we're born of the Spirit. We don't belong here. We're just here. I'm just carrying this flesh. It's a human suit. But I'm actually a spirit in a human suit. This human suit's going back to dust, and I'm going home. And if you ain't born of the Spirit, you're going right with that human suit back to the dust, which we know is hell. You're either going one place or another. Either the demons come and get you or the angels come and get you. One or the other. There's no in between. And remember, the devil owns the fence. Hallelujah. Well, I'm a good person. Ain't got nothing to do about good. There's a tree of good and evil, and there's a tree of eternal life, which is known as righteousness. God determines what is righteous and what's good and evil. Good and evil will not enter the kingdom of God. Righteousness does. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1. Hosea 8, 1. That's why you must maintain a level of spiritual resistance. Resisting the voice of the stranger. Resisting. Everybody there? Let's speak it. Set the trumpet to your mouth. He shall come like an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant. They rebelled against my law. Israel shall cry to me, my God, we know you. Israel has rejected the good, and the enemy will what? What the heck? They rejected the good? They rejected God's knowledge? They rejected all the good things of God. And what did it do? It opened the door to the enemy. Because they did not resist the enemy. Every day there's resistance to the enemy. We must have spiritual resistance. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. When people rebel against God, that's resisting against God. And then the enemy has access because it opens the door. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. Everybody there? These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Ooh. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may be instructed by him? But we have the mind of Christ. Spiritual discernment dictates resistance. By the anointing of God, which activates your senses. Amen? The anointing of God activates your senses. And so that you can what? Have spiritual discernment. That's activated senses, is spiritual discernment. Without the spiritual discernment, which activates resistance. So if your senses are not spiritually activated, is everybody with me? Your discernment is not activated either. And if your discernment's not activated, how can you resist? You'll be easily run over. You'll be taken advantage of. And it all goes back to the anointing and presence of God. Without the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, we can't activate. That's why a lot of people know the Bible but can't overcome. I mean, they can memorize the page numbers, but they cannot overcome. I know the word. I know who Jesus is, but how many things that God said, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, and Jesus is going to say, I don't know you. Why is that? Because they lack God's presence. They lack the anointing, and that's so vital. The anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, which activates your senses, amen, then activates your discernment, and activate your spiritual resistance so that you can resist. So when you're not able to resist, there's an open door somewhere. Something's lacking. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. Verse 14, do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion is light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I'll walk among them, I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. If they do what? If they come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you, and you, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Don't be yoked with unbelievers. Why? They will dismantle your resistance. They will weaken you. People don't realize that demons have a way of influencing. And I shared this testimony before about when I went to go visit this woman in the hospital. And she was dying. And this other woman came up next to her who I could tell she was a witch. And she had all these charms and she was trying to heal this woman. And man, I wanted to just push her away from this woman that was laying in bed. And the Lord said, no. He said, I want you to stand at the end of the bed and fold your arms so you don't interfere with nothing. And I did. And I watched this woman do, every time she touched this woman that was in the hospital bed, she cried out. The woman in the hospital bed cried out, went, oh! And I could tell she felt pain. And I wanted to stop her. Then the Lord gave me a vision in the spirit, and I saw a cup. And this woman was nothing but a cup of serpents. And every time she would reach her hand to go touch that woman got bit. And the Lord reminded me that's what happens with people. You associate with people because you're agreeing with them that are unbelievers. And I'm not saying that you go to work and whatever. You can resist all that. But you go to old friends' houses that are still an unbeliever. Well, so the Bible says to go out and witness. Well, if God don't send you, you ain't protected. And so every time this woman got bit, she cried out with pain. And I left the room. And I went home and I prayed for the woman. A friend of mine knew her, and the next day she died. And they said this green big blob came out of her mouth and flopped on her stomach. I don't know what it was. I had no idea. I didn't ask. But I believe she went home because I was praying and warfaring for her that if she did die, she made it home. And that all the curses we broke off of her so she'd make it home. So she might not have been healed, but she got healed when she went home, didn't she? Amen. 2 Corinthians, did we do this yet? 6:14, don't be yoked. Remember, the enemy will dismantle your resistance. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll close here. 1 Peter 4:7. Spiritual resistance. Hallelujah. First Peter 4:7. Now, if we'd have known all this knowledge when we were out there, we'd have had more victory, wouldn't we? You know, how many times have you ever thought about, man, I wish I'd have known more of the stuff when I was younger? Verse 7, let's speak it. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for the love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak to the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him minister due to his ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever and ever. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which will try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's blaspheming, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, or evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come when judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him and doing good as to the faithful Creator. Amen. Spiritual resistance. How do you get it? God's presence. God's presence. God's presence. Worship, worship, worship. Father, we thank you for your word. We're honored and blessed. I ask that you protect the seed that's been imparted today and give us revelation that we may continue to resist spiritually, not just physically, but spiritually, and overcome the enemy in everything that we do. In Jesus' name.